Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Hey, welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling countdown show that is located here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, all those great places.
Yes, we're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Numerous, may I add, new contribution tiers just added Thursday.
Well, new rewards for those contributions. I think.
Well, there is one new tier.
There is one new $200,000 tier. See, now I have every reason not to do this as well. I need to pressure you into do this more. But I don't want you to actually do it.
You can apply all the pressure you want.
Stretch.
Not going to happen.
I can ask for it, but I don't really want you to do it until somebody signs up for that $200,000 Patreon tier.
If by some miracle someone did do that,
yeah,
I couldn't. I don't know if I could accept it.
Oh, sure you can. Because it's a too sweet.
That's a lot of money just for that.
Yeah, but we'll have to be like a billionaire. Have to be like some super, super rich. You think one of our fans out there is going to like mortgage his house? that's the concern. It's like, you're going to break your family for a too sweet?
Don't do that.
Bad idea.
Terrible idea.
So anyways.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. As of today, Tuesday, and we're shooting this 10 designs. I hope to get one more up this week.
Uno mas, you need my help.
I just need you to take a couple pictures of my face.
Oh yeah, you just need. Can we just do it now?
No.
Okay. Anyways, this is count out, so we have 10 things to count down. And this week, the subject is: who are the best talkers today in the WWE?
Yes,
that encompasses Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live. NXT and pay-per-views.
Yes.
Yeah. So was there any particular motivation for this?
I think we mentioned it once, and then there's been a lot of people in the comments asking for us to do this episode.
Asking for this. Okay. Well, here we go. We're going to
start.
Number 10.
10.
Enzo Amore. Now, we know. You know, his act might be growing a little stale on some people, but the guy is probably one of the best improvisers going today.
Yes,
he keeps on getting. We have been sort of relieved of his mic work lately because he's just been getting beaten up backstage by probably Cass.
Yes, or maybe the Revival.
Possibly top guys.
Top guys. He's really good on the mic, as you said. He's a really good improviser. Yeah, some people are kind of getting tired of his, you know, because every week they come out and they do the same thing.
Yeah, and it's
to preface whatever promo he may do afterwards.
It's really long.
Yes.
That's the problem with it, but also like he's already been doing it for so long and it's part of the overall experience.
Yes.
And have you noticed how many people wear their merch?
A lot.
A lot. Those guys move a lot of merch.
Yeah, they do. Let me ask you something. Do you think they Enzo and Cass be getting that kind of reaction? People kind of getting a little tired of them. If they were tag team champions,
if their careers had been progressing at all, probably maybe not to the extent that they have been, but I would say probably just because the thing that they do is the same. I'm thinking of the New Day right now. The New Day, they didn't rely on one shtick. They have their little things that they do, the hoo hoo, that kind of thing, but it's not formulaic so that when they come out you know exactly what they're going to do, what they're going to say. They have turned their comedy bits into these very dynamic promos.
Yes,
you never know what you're going to get when the New Day comes out.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You don't know what you're going to get. With Enzo and Cass, you can sleepwalk through it at this point. Like, you know exactly what they're going to do when they come out.
Till they get to the ring,
and then it's kind of different. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes not so good.
Yeah, Enzo, when he's good, he's really good.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gets a little obscure with some of the references.
Yeah.
He might include in his promos, and sometimes some of the jokes might not hit.
Remember when Dennis Miller did Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except that was really bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah. But he would do the same thing. He would have like really obscure references. And then it was like, oh, that didn't work. Didn't Rush Limbaugh do Monday Night Football at one point?
He did the... He was on one of the pre-game shows, I think.
Okay.
I don't recall if he ever did the broadcast, though.
It's so weird. And then everybody scurries to the sides. Anyways, Enzo, yeah. He can get a little obscure sometimes. He can lose people sometimes.
Yeah.
He can lose people sometimes. I think, you know what? I think it's kind of related to what you're saying in terms of if they had progressed further in their careers, if they had the tag straps at any point. I also think if they're it's sort of related to that, if the general story they tell in the ring was more interesting as well.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing all the time. Enzo gets ragdolled and then he gets the hot dag on Cass.
Yeah.
That's always the thing that they do.
Well, that's been the case since NXT.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I remember, but the thing is, I remember, you know what they could, you know, they could use. It's kind of a shame. I mean, it kind of is and kind of isn't, but could you imagine if Carmella and Ellsworth joined up with Enzo and Cass?
That'd be interesting.
I mean, I remember when I first saw Enzo and Cass in NXT, the first thing I thought was ECW. I was like, these guys really remind me of an ECW type faction.
Yeah.
And I thought Carmella was really, really good with them. But anyways, yeah, Enzo, he's a really good talker.
He is.
Yeah. Number nine.
Nine.
Cassius Ohno. Oh, no. Oh, no. Anyways.
It was kind of a toss-up for me, determining kind of who was top talker in NXT.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Roode's really good.
Oh,
and he gets a lot of mic time.
Yeah.
Whereas Ohno doesn't.
Yeah.
But he's so natural.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So in the end, because of... You don't feel like he's anything's prepared. You don't feel like he's reading from a script.
Do you never know? Like, yeah, there's never... He's never... It's never a promo with him.
Yes.
It always comes out straight from the heart. And that, given how long we've been watching wrestling, that really, really does seem to be like one of the most difficult things to pull off.
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about Sasha Banks before, how you can tell when there's like sincere Sasha sort of shooting from the hip and there's promo Sasha and there's like not a lot of gray in between. With Cassius Ohno, I mean, this dude is just, it's always pure. It's always just coming straight from the heart.
Yes.
It's remarkable anybody could do that. I mean, it's and on one hand, he makes it look so easy.
I know.
And I don't know if it is or if it, that's the thing about it. It's like, I don't know. Is he just like, how would he do with a script? Because if he comes up to Maine, we still have no idea what their plans are for him.
Yeah.
But if he comes up to Maine and they hand him a script, what does he do? Like, does he read scripts?
I don't know.
I imagine he'd be able to kill it.
Maybe he'll be one of those guys that, you know, if he's brought up to Maine and he can be one of those guys that they just trust.
Mm-hmm.
To do it without a script.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll happen immediately, but I have a feeling based on the limited promo work we've seen of him of his in NXT, that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, it could be.
Because everything just feels so natural.
Yeah.
It's really good. No, and that's, I imagine a lot of that's experience. He's been wrestling on the indies for years.
I'm trying to think of other people in NXT who are really good while we're on the subject of NXT.
Other than Ohno and Bobby Roode?
Other than Ohno, Bobby Roode. We literally have not heard one word from Aleister Black. Who else are my favorites? No Way Jose is whatever. I mean, Roderick Strong is whatever. I'm trying to name other people. None of the women are really
standouts. Eric Young is good.
Eric Young's really good. Yeah, you sort of take Eric Young a little bit for granted.
Yeah.
Because he does like the weird thing. Like he never flubs anything. He's just straight up good. Yeah. Anyways, number eight.
Eight.
Alexa Bliss. Probably would have put her higher on the list had it not been for the... No, I can't say that. The rest of them are really, really good. Alexa Bliss is surprising in that, like, she's probably the best female talker they have. She sounds like she's just...
Yeah, it sounds natural.
Because, you know, the thing is, you know, she's green enough that they write her scripts.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's able to recite that stuff...
And deliver it convincingly.
Deliver it convincingly.
Say what you will about the Bayley This Is Your Life segment. It was not good.
Yeah.
But Alexa put her all into it, and she was convincing.
And it really wasn't... It had nothing to do with her. Nobody could have saved that. Nobody could have saved that trash. That was horrible, but that was all creative. The fact is, she didn't, like... She rarely stumbles over her lines.
She has done a good job, and I noticed this last night on Raw this week, when the crowd starts giving her the what,
mm-hmm.
This Is Your Life, they start doing that, and she's like, yeah, I'm really curious to know what it is too.
Yeah.
She played off it. She played off it pretty well. She's done that
really
a couple times.
Good with the crowd.
Yeah.
She's really good with the crowd. And there are certain other, so like if, while we're on the subject of women wrestlers, like for example, Charlotte, Charlotte sort of tends to give the same intonation when she speaks. She sort of has the same rhythm over and over again.
Yeah.
Alexa doesn't. Alexa sounds like shit's coming. It's coming straight from, you know, the heart or whatever.
She sounds like she's speaking as she's thinking of the words.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't sound like she's reciting a script.
Exactly. And so many others do. Bailey can sound like she's not reading from the script, but she's so damn awkward.
Yeah. Becky Lynch is good on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Number seven.
Seven.
Neville. See, if this was me, I would have put Neville, like if it was strictly my list, man, right now, these days, I'd put Neville number freaking two.
Really?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. I didn't really push for it because it's like, he's on the list. What does it matter? We can talk about Neville. Neville is so damn good. This dude will take lines that are scripted for him. He'll make him sound like freaking Shakespeare. He's so good.
He is good. And he's really good at not only delivering his lines believably, he's good about taking beats.
Mm-hmm.
To process the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because the split screen interview he had with Austin Aries last week on 205 Live was great.
Mm-hmm.
Where Aries said something to insult him, and Neville, instead of coming right back, took a moment to process it and come up with his retort. It was really well done.
Yeah,
he does that on a week-to-week basis.
You don't get a lot of that stuff.
No.
What's crazy, too, is that like nobody ever saw this in Neville back when he was a face.
Yeah.
They just sort of kept him quiet. They
let his in-ring work do the talking, essentially.
Yeah, and which was great, but it's like, man, once he turned heel, once he delivered that first promo, it was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was available in Neville.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, seriously, right now, he is absolutely one of my top favorite characters because he is so, every time him and TJP are like talking to each other and he just starts rattling off like a Game of Thrones character, it's fantastic. It's so freaking good.
Yeah, he's a very convincing heel.
Yeah, he is, absolutely. And it's funny because he's so good at some point they're going to turn him face again. And I really hope he keeps that aspect of his character.
Yes.
Like I never want him to pander again or to be quite like once now he's out there, he needs to stay like that. You know what I mean?
Do you think they can turn him face and still call him the king of the cruiserweights?
Yeah, I think they can. I totally think they could do. I think they can these days. You can totally do that. I mean, Kevin Owens is sort of on the verge of being a face when he's doing his comedy shit with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So, no, I totally think they can. I mean, all it takes like these days, it's kind of like when, I mean, the crowd never bought into AJ as a real face or as a real heel, rather. But like when he's sort of turned, he still has the arrogance. He still has the swagger. It's still the house that AJ Styles built. With Neville, it'll simply be like, just don't have him, like have him fight a bad guy and don't have him pan into the crowd. And
yeah.
He'll still be a face.
Yeah.
People still love him.
Yeah, it's going to get to the point probably within the next, how long do you think, 6 months, where he's going to start getting over.
Yeah.
Based on his heel work.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's so good. Number six.
Six.
Samoa Joe. I think Samoa Joe probably has, number one, he's the most verbose wrestler there is these days. But number two, I firmly believe that Samoa Joe is informed by a lot of really, really good movies because his promos always come off as dramatic scenes from good movies.
Yeah.
That's what they sound like.
Yeah.
He sounds like a Jules Winfield. He really does. And yeah, I mean, I can sit there and listen to him talk all day long.
Oh,
He never says the same thing.
No.
It's always new, fresh. It's always, I mean, yeah, every week they're hitting like the same story beats with a lot of these things.
But he's approaching it from different avenues. I'll always go back to his feud with Shinsuke after he lost the belt.
Yeah.
That whole stretch when he would come out and harass wrestlers, beat him up until Regal gave him his title shot.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was some good stuff.
Oh, it was amazing.
Every week he'd come out and just be on fire on the mic.
I like that time he drove by and said, "You need better security.
Get better security." I know that was
great. Better
security. So good.
But yeah, if you listen to the words that he says, it's so unlike anything anybody's doing right now.
Yes, he's got a great voice.
His vocabulary is off the hook.
Yeah.
And I just, he comes to me like he comes off like a Pulp Fiction character. He's like totally, he's like within the Tarantino universe. In my mind, that's his character. And I mean, from the way he debuted in his Reservoir Dogs suit on Maine, that is, to just how, I don't know, he's just a tough dude. He reminds me of a Tarantino character.
And his promos are intense,
mm-hmm.
and they're very emblematic of a guy who's an intense badass guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
no, he's absolutely. Great. I love Samoa Joe.
Number five, The Miz.
See, at one point we had The Miz higher on the list.
Yeah,
and we discussed you know where we can put him more in detail,
mm-hmm.
and I think we both kind of agreed that when he's doing shoot style promos,
yeah.
He's one of the best.
Well, when The Miz is doing something that's sort of different or something interesting.
Like when he's on Talking Smack.
Yeah, he's great.
He's fantastic.
He's amazing.
When he's doing kind of more generic stuff like mm-hmm. on Miz TV this last Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's just not exceptional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like when Miz is good, he's really, really, really
yes.
good. And honestly, I think with him, it's just been I think his entire sort of, whatever phase this is in his career, the reason why we're such a big fan of it is because he's been around for a long time.
Yes.
And he sort of earned, we call it the legacy pop, you know?
Yeah.
Like people like at WrestleMania, people like, you know, you put him in there against Cena and
you would have thought he was the face in the match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was reveling in it. He knows how to go with the flow. He knows how to, he definitely knows how to command a crowd.
Yes.
He knows to get what he wants out of a crowd. He can hang in the ring with anybody in terms of being on the mic. I mean, when we were there live at Raw, you know, he was in there and he was sort of the focal point. You had Dean, you had the Shield, and you had Finn Balor all around him. And he was the guy that was the most entertaining out of everybody.
Roman wasn't in the ring.
Where was Roman? Oh, he was injured.
Yes.
Was he not there that night?
No.
We saw him be injured at the night before.
Yes.
Okay. So you had, who am I thinking of? You had four guys, Dean, Finn, Shield, and Shield.
Yes. Seth,
Dean, Finn.
Miz,
yeah. Bray was around too. He was under the ring.
Later on, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyways, the Miz is really good.
He is really good. I remember if we came with this term or someone, one of our fans did, the heel that makes good points.
Yeah, one of our fans did, yeah.
He is probably, the best heel that makes good points in the business today.
Yeah.
Because when he does the shoot style promos,
yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
He makes good points.
Yeah. He just goes and he keeps it real, and then people are supposed to boom for it, but it's like, no, man, people actually kind of like that.
Yeah, that was the whole thing with Cena. Mm-hmm. Like all his points at Cena were like, okay.
So, yeah, you got a good point.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. You have a very solid relationship, and Cena seems very premeditated and calculated.
Yes.
And weird. So, yeah, The Miz. He's up there, man. He's doing good stuff.
Yeah, he's good.
Number four.
Four.
The current face of the United States of America, Kevin Owens. Making sure I got his name right. Kevin Owens. Yeah, I mean, look, according to him, I've mentioned this before, and he's mentioned a million times, when he was like 19 and he was, you know, a couple of years in the business, I'd imagine, at that point. He had a chance encounter with Steve Austin, Stone Cold, and Stone Cold said, never stop running your mouth.
What?
And so Kevin Owens never stopped running his mouth. And now he is so, talk about being able to appear as though you're shooting from the hip.
Yes.
Everything out of his mouth seems like it's literally as he's thinking it.
Yes.
He comes off as a guy with zero filter, even though you know that at the very least, he's been given a script that he needs to read beats off of.
Yeah.
See,
but like I think with Owens, he's great on the mic. What I think really takes him to the next level is the talking he does in ring.
Oh, it's great.
He is the best in ring trash talker.
Yeah.
At least in WWE.
Yeah.
He is so good. He takes Stone Cold's advice to the next level because he never stops talking in the ring.
Right.
He is always talking.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It is so good. It really enhances not only the performances of the match, but the story generally too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because at WrestleMania, his match against Jericho, mm-hmm. not a whole lot of talking.
Yeah.
But then the one at Payback, a lot of talking.
I wonder if it was an emotional moment for him at WrestleMania, knowing that his probably one of his closer friends by that point, like in real life. Because I could say they probably, do you think they went on the road together?
Oh, maybe. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember Jericho was on the road with Mark Henry during that one episode, but that might have been before the Kevin Owens Jericho thing. Yeah, I have no idea, but they seem like they really liked each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It might have been an emotional moment. Who knows?
But also, I was kind of also wondering, you know, based on the size of the venue.
Could be.
If he thought, okay, I'm going to scale back on the in-ring talk a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to translate to the back row.
Yeah, that could be.
Quite as well as it would in an arena.
Yeah, that could be. Or, the, yeah, there might be other factors like, yeah, I have no idea. But WrestleMania is sort of a weird beast.
Yeah, who knows? But as far as character work, Kevin Owens is off the charts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's great. He's so good at building a character, portraying it consistently week in and week out, have that character translate not only in promos but also in how he wrestles in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think of some of the feuds he's been with. I mean, if you know, he's been sort of blessed to have been in feuds with like Sami Zayn,
Jericho,
obviously did the Jericho thing,
Seth Rollins. That was a good feud.
Exactly. So those are all guys that are like, you know, you can do a lot of good. I'd love to see Kevin Owens in a feud with Rusev, even though they're both heels. I would love to see that happen at some point. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Number three.
Three.
Bray Wyatt.
We'll do the voice.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, Stephen Lawson, man. You put me in number three. I'm the devil you do know.
So Bray, at times, will get a bit obscure, a bit obtuse with his promos.
I've noticed lately, though, on Raw.
They've been a little more linear.
Like, they've made more sense. Yeah, clearer. Exactly. Clear. Yeah.
Because I think it seems, you know, for the most part, he has a very clear goal, is a very clear thing he's talking about, and then he can weave his really interesting wordplay around that clear goal. At times, some of his goals have seemed kind of nebulous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think...
It'd be too abstract.
Yeah, and then, you know, like his promos will sound nice because he's got a really good way with words.
Yeah.
And he's got a very compelling delivery.
Yeah.
But at the end, you're like, did that mean anything?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Here's my thing about Bray Wyatt. He could easily be like a lead bad guy in season one of True Detective.
Yeah.
He's that guy, and he is that good. He is so good at being that character. Like, that is a fully formed, realized, fictional character.
Yes.
Like, it's amazing. It's fantastic. Yes. And like you said, you know, you get sort of lost sometimes with, you know, the weird crap that he says, and sometimes you got to think that they just said, hey, just go say some kind of obscure. We're not sure what we're going to do with you right now.
Be evocative.
Be weird a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, be vague.
Yeah.
Be vague.
Just put some, you know, good sounding words together. Make it seem like it means something.
But now that he's sort of in this universal title hunt along with four other guys here coming up in Extreme Rules, he does have more focus. They've given him more focus. And I hope they continue to do that because... Yes. You know, when he's directly addressing, like, Samoa Joe, for example, this past week on Raw, it was pretty effective.
Yes.
It was good. It was like, no, you're not as good as I am. I'm better than you, and I'm going to take on Brock Lesnar.
Yes, that's his way of saying. He has a way of saying it.
Exactly. That's really compelling.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Bray Wyatt, too, is that his promos can be very... The effect that they have on the crowd is very interesting.
Yes.
Because for anybody else... For anybody else, if they had his win-loss record, they would be booing him out of the building.
I know.
Like, after House of Horrors, he came out on Raw the next night, because we were there here in Sacramento.
Yeah, he was on the show.
And anybody else would have been getting, after that match, he'd have been getting hit with boos.
Yeah.
Or, you know, House of Horrors. You know, he'd be getting chanted.
Yeah.
Nobody was doing that.
No.
There were, like, people that were... booing, there were people that were cheering, there were people that were captivated. Like, he gets a very, very wide-ranging mix.
Yeah.
But everybody is interested in him.
Yes.
It's not like Roman Reigns where it's like, boo, yay, boo, yeah. It's like a whole, like, he's like, I don't know, like, it's weird. Like, the reaction he gets from people is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Like, everybody will participate in his entrance. They'll get their phones out, be a firefly.
Yeah.
But after that, whether they cheer or not, yeah, as you said, it's a very... very varied response.
His gimmick is so suited to his strengths. I don't think anybody else could pull off the Bray Wyatt character the way he does.
No.
Number two.
Two.
The New Day. I mean, it's the New Day.
Yeah.
It's literally like watching three best friends banter and be hilarious and entertaining. You know, I don't know if they give these guys a script. If they write a script, if they just go out there and do their thing.
That's a good question.
I would have no idea.
I would think they would have to set something up, at least the three of them in advance before going out there.
You would think so. You would think that.
Or at least a starting point.
That had to have been the point. Well, yeah, I would imagine they're probably backstage and they probably like, you know, hey.
We're going to do this, go
we'll
to this,
this
and go, go to that.
This,
and
go to that.
But the transitions are up to them.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see anybody. I mean, they probably, you know, they probably consult with whoever's producing their stuff and saying, hey, we need you guys to make this point.
Yes.
But I really doubt that they're submitting scripts or anybody's giving them scripts. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, they're fantastic. It's going to be interesting what happens when they come to SmackDown. I really want to see them interact. I want to see the Fashion Police win these titles and the New Day get into a thing with the Usos and sort of have the Fashion Police assist the New Day a little bit. I don't know. I want to see the New Day and Fashion Police.
Yes.
On the same page.
Yes.
Together, I think it'd be great.
Yes.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the New Day, I mean, the memorable, iconic moments they've had in the ring are of Legion. Countless.
Yes.
And, you know, based on their performance on the mic, for a very short spell, they managed to get the Von Villains over.
Yes.
As a believable heel tag team.
Yes. Yeah.
That is an accomplishment.
I like when they did their time traveling machine.
That's what I'm talking about. That whole feud, the New Day, got over the Von Villains.
Yeah, I know.
No one else has been able to do that.
I know. It is going to be really interesting seeing what they'll be able to do with the tag team division. Because I think that they were brought there. It's like, hey, you know, we got this tag team division who has a lot of talent.
It's kind of floundering.
But it's floundering. Like, nobody really knows what to do. Like, I'm really interested to see if the New Day can do something with American Alpha. I said before, bring Shelton Benjamin back, put him in there with American Alpha as a heel group, and have him take on the New Day.
That would be great.
That'd be fantastic.
Fantastic.
Number one.
One.
John Cena. How is this even a question?
Yeah.
He's like next to Stone Cold and The Rock, Macho Man. Cena is...
Well, you got to put Flair in there, too.
You put Flair in
and
there.
And Dusty.
Yeah, and Dusty. I think John Cena, to be honest with you. I would probably say, like, what's your top three?
All time?
What's your Mount Rushmore talkers?
Well, you have to
talkers?
Include CM Punk in there, too.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. My top three is probably Rock, Stone Cold, and Cena.
Mine's probably Rock, Flair.
You'd put Rock over Stone Cold?
I don't know.
That's tough.
I know.
It's really tough.
Because you also have Jake Roberts. He was great on the mic.
Yeah, he was great on the mic. But he's sort of more in Bray Wyatt territory. Jake, I think, just talked. I think that was Jake. You have Ultimate Warrior, of course. Mount Rushmore of making up words.
Yeah. Flair would be on there for sure.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Man, that is Rock, really tough. Stone Cold, Cena, and then who else, I think?
I had Flair. I probably have Rock, Stone Cold. If we're talking five.
Four. Mount Rushmore's four.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say Rock, Stone Cold, Cena, Flair. I think I gave somebody else my fourth, but whatever. Yeah, John Cena, one of the greatest talkers of all time. We didn't put, here's the thing. People might be like, what about Jericho? We didn't put Jericho on here because he has said he's not sure when he's coming back. If he's coming back, now we all know he's going to come back.
Yeah, I think he's booked for shows in Japan.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But he's not currently right now.
He's on hiatus.
Exactly. And yes, the same could be said about John Cena, but John Cena always says, I'm always here, part of the WWE.
Yes.
So there is,
and rumors are that he's going to come back much sooner than previously scheduled to help out with ratings.
Okay. So there's that. But yeah, John Cena is able to read a crowd and then manipulate that crowd to do whatever he wants it to do.
More or less.
He's like a hypnotist.
Go back to just recently, his feud with AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did AJ, who's good on the mic in his own right, would come out and then just trash talk Cena.
Yeah.
The crowd would be firmly behind AJ.
Yeah.
And then within a matter of 90 seconds, Cena has the crowd in the palm of his hand.
Well, remember he almost made The Miz cry.
Yeah.
Like twice.
Yeah.
Like he ran him down so bad.
It looked like The Miz is about to cry.
Miz had cry face.
I know.
That's powerful right there. That is so deep and powerful. And, you know, obviously he's translating that into what looks to be a very successful movie career.
Yeah.
You know, that's about to take off.
He was great in Trainwreck.
He was fantastic in Trainwreck. He had a small role in...
Sisters?
Was that what it was called? Yeah, Sisters, I think.
The one with...
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Yeah.
He
had a small role in that. He was good. He played
like a
drug dealer or something. Like, he looked like... kind of like James Franco in Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
Who was supposed to look like, what's that dude's name? Jody Highroller?
Riff Raff?
Riff Raff, yeah.
Is that his name?
I think so.
I'll double check.
Yeah. Anyways, so he kind of looked like that. And then he's got a role coming up in the sequel to Daddy's Home because he had a cameo in that at the end of it. So, yeah, he's going to take off.
Riff Raff.
He's going to be like another Rock, dude. Did you see Rock's little tweet storm about Baywatch?
No.
Yeah, he was not happy that people were running it down. John Cena, like one of the greatest talkers of all time.
Yes.
How do you not put John Cena on any list like this?
Yeah, you got to put him on there.
He's got to be number one.
Number one, John Cena.
But number one talker of all time.
I'm going to go with Ric Flair.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, how do you not say The Rock? The Rock is the right answer. He's a $65 million actor.
Well, that's not the same as best promo guy.
Yeah, it kind of is, though. It relates. It's one thing leads to another.
No, I could see that the skills being good at one translate to another.
Yeah. So you agree. The Rock.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, really? Yeah, maybe. Anyways, that's our list for the top talkers. Right now, let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.